Welcome and thank you for standing by. All participants will be on listen-only until the question-and-answer session. Today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. Please stand by as I read off the agencies. One moment, please. Thank you for standing by. For agencies, I have the Lake County Healthcare Department, Ecker Center for Mental Health, Illinois Mental Health, Cornerstone Services, Lake County Health Department, Illinois Department of Human Services, Division of Mental Health, Collaborative, Grand Prairie Services, once again, Illinois Mental Health Collaborative, Cornerstone Services, DuPage County Health Department, Heartland, Thresholds, Division of Mental Health, DMH, Human Service Center, Kenneth Young Center, Heartland Healthcare Outreach, Grand Prairie, Biology Behavioral Health Center, Department of Human Services, State of Illinois, and lastly, the Division of Mental Health. That is all the attendees I currently have at this time. I'd like to turn the meeting over to Amy Montgomery.
Thank you, Melinda. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to today's webinar. My name is Amy Montgomery. I am one of the organizers for today's call. We really appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule to join us today. Today's webcast is presented by the Illinois Department of Human Services, Division of Mental Health, and the Mental Health Collaborative. The title of today's webcast is Williams Consent Decree, Provider Training and Reporting. You will hear from a panel of speakers today, and our speakers include from DMH, Dr. Mary Smith, Associate Director of Decision Support Research and Evaluation, and Leanne Reiner, Clinical Policy Specialist. And from the Collaborative, we have Pat Palmer, Clinical Support Specialist, Joanne Rosenberg, Clinical Care Manager, Kelly Lacey, Supervisor Clinical Services, Patricia Hill, Clinical Support Specialist, and myself, Amy Montgomery, the Training Coordinator. Before we begin the formal presentation, I would like to review with everyone a few helpful tools and housekeeping items for the online portion of the forum. If you happen to get disconnected from the audio portion, please call back into the same number you just dialed, 1-888-677-0065. The access code is Illinois. The visual portion of this presentation is web-based. Of course, you can choose the audio portion only, but if you would like to log in to see the webinar, the presentation, and PowerPoint, the login information is located on the invite you received after you registered. If you are experiencing any problems with that particular link to join, you can also go to www.joinwebinar.com and enter the webinar ID, which is 891-929-450. There will be a designated question and answer portion towards the end of each demonstration today. We ask that attendees hold their questions until the designated question and answer period. The operator will then open the lines for you at that time. And lastly, at the conclusion of the presentation today, we ask that you please complete the brief satisfaction survey that will appear when you close out of the online forum. It should take you less than 5 minutes to complete the survey, and we value your feedback. Without further ado, we would like to now begin the formal presentation. I would like to turn it over to our first speaker for today, Dr. Mary Smith.
Hi, everyone. And thank you, Amy. So, I understand we have a mix of agencies on the phone today. And by mix of agencies, I mean we have some agencies who have been Williams providers from the beginning, and they're participating in this webinar this morning basically as a refresher for the information that you need to submit on Williams class members. We have some providers who attended training, I guess it was in late November, you know, where we spent pretty much the whole day, maybe a day and a half, providing some information on the I guess, the Williams Consent Decree, along with covering various topical areas. But those folks haven't seen, you know, the modules that you need to access in Provider Connect, and so this is the follow-up to that training. And then it's my understanding that we have some other agencies who have just come on board and will be seeing some of the Williams class members for treatment who haven't received the initial training. That training is scheduled for this afternoon and will be delivered by DMH staff. So, you know, I just wanted to just take a couple of minutes just to give an overview before we get started with the actual demo that the collaborative will be walking through, as well as their presentation. So when DMH first started working on the Williams Consent Decree, you know, the idea was to capture as much information electronically as possible and to build systems that would help us capture information about the five business functions associated with the Williams Consent Decree, you know, that being outreach, resident review, transition coordination, housing, and then also community services. So the idea was not to build new systems. The idea was to leverage what we had and to basically, you know, add modules to systems, again, as opposed to developing whole new systems. Well, most of you probably aren't concerned with the outreach component. You know, that's been, you know, we, DMH, has contracted with NAMI of Greater Illinois to employ outreach workers to go out to the IMDs. There's actually a separate web-based database that we had to develop to capture information about those outreach activities. You're probably not all that concerned with the resident reviews. You know, that some of you may be participating in resident reviews, but actually that information is or will be going into a database that's been created at the University of Illinois that DMH will have access to. But the other three components, transition coordination, housing options, and community services, because we have a robust community information system, we were able to either add several fields to current modules or to create some modules and then insert them into Provider Connect. And so, yeah, that's what we've done with, again, transition coordination, housing, and community services. So today you're basically going to take a look at what those processes look like. You know, there's just a couple of other things that I wanted to remind people of. You know, as usual, all of these individuals have to be registered. Everyone on the phone is used to that. We don't really have any new providers. And so what that means, of course, is that every individual must have a RIN and they must have Social Services Package B eligibility before you can register anyone. You know, we still expect the usual registration process to be followed, meaning all of the relevant fields must be completed. You still have to do re-registrations for folks a minimum of every 6 months, or you can do, updates whenever conditions change and you want to reflect that. You know, there is still the 90-day registration timeline that applies as well. Also, as a reminder, you know, because everyone in the state is not seeing Williams class members, we establish Williams class eligibility for individuals in the Williams class. The way that we do that is, you know, once the resident review is completed, DMH, based on the recommendations that come out of the resident review, DMH moves forward and basically approves transitioning the individual to the community. Well, once DMH makes that determination, we basically get a list of individuals, indicate that these folks are eligible to become Williams clients, and then that information is sent over to the collaborative in an eligibility file, and the collaborative establishes the eligibility for that information. The other key piece, of course, is that, you know, just like the way we do business with everything else, providers have to have eligibility too. And so for providers who have been Williams providers, you know, you've already gone through this, you're eligible in the system to submit registrations and claims for Williams class individuals. The list of new providers has gone over to the collaborative to be given eligibility. So, you know, I guess bottom line is eligibility must exist for both the client and the provider before you can submit a registration and before you can submit a claim. When the list goes, the list of consumers goes over to the collaborative, the turnaround is fairly fast. You know, they typically are able to establish eligibility within a day. But, you know, just a heads up, if you get an email from Sandy Brand, you know, who's responsible for transition coordination activities here, December 31st, basically saying the, you know, the person will be transitioning and they're assigned to your agency, please know that it's likely that she's only just also given us the name for the eligibility list that day too, and so it may not get over to the collaborative until the next day. So you're always going to have at least a couple of days gap that way before you can submit the registration. So having said that, you know, just wanted to give you a quick overview and just remind folks about eligibility and what you have to do in order to register. So Amy, and I think we're ready to move forward.
Okay, thank you, Mary. My screen should be showing now. I just want to point out the Williams class consumer fields that are located on the consumer registration page. In Provider Connect, we'll come here where you see the Williams class consumer, and after you've determined that they are, you would select yes. When you do that, you will be conditionally required to enter your IMD home code. You select here in this drop-down box, and this is selected from where, based on where the consumer resides. So those are the two fields for the Williams class. Then I want to go down here and I want to point out that permanent supportive housing, if you have this selected as yes, you cannot have anything selected in this drop-down box here. Okay. So if you have any of these programs selected, you must have the permanent supportive housing as marked no and vice versa. This is yes, you cannot have anything in this box. I believe that is all I wanted to point out to you. Does anybody have any questions?
And to ask a question from the phones, press star 1 at this time. Please unmute your phone and record your name when prompted. Once again, star 1 at this time. One moment, please, for the first question. Thank you for standing by, showing no questions.
Okay, thank you. We will just move on to our next presenter, and that is Ms. Joanne Rosenberg.
All right. Hi, I'm Joanne, and I'm going to start talking about the transition coordination process for the Williams class. First, you would log into Provider Connect in the same way you have done for all the other things you do. And there is a new direct link to going to the Williams Transition Outcome Tracking Information link that is on the home page. That is one new aspect, but we're not going to go there yet. There's also a link for complete provider forms, which is both on your left and also just above the Williams Transition Outcome Tracking Information. And we are going to go to that link. It's going to open a place to get your member, your specific member. So you put in a minimum of the ID, which is the RIN, and the date of birth. And that will open the demographics verification field. So that'll have your addresses and phone numbers and whatever. There's also a place there where it says view funding source enrollment details. So if you have questions, you can click on that hyperlink as well, although I don't believe we're going to do that right now. And then it's going to open provider forms, and you'll have a choice for Williams Transition Coordination Task Tracking. We will click on. And it also has another choice there, which is Transition Outcome Tracking Information, and we will actually look at that later on. That choice, by the way, is new. All right, so what we're going to do is start with the Williams Class Transition Coordination Form. Before the transitions really start, there are a few fields that we look at. And anything with an asterisk is always required. It has a few questions regarding things that you're going to start before you do later things, such as the risk assessment and plan, backup plan for 24 hours, quality of life survey. And then it's got a very long list of various types of tasks that over the process would be completed. And this form can be submitted in a repeated manner so that as you go, you can submit it. So, for example, you may have some things checked yes, put in the dates, and some things no, and you leave the dates off. As you go on, you come back the next time and you've gotten some more information, some more dates set up, then you fill it out again. It will auto-populate what's already been done, and you'll be able to go in and make changes to it. And the outcomes tracking form will be completed at a later time. And again, if there are fields that are required and you know the answers, you can enter them at this time, which will then pre-populate when you go back to it. Again, all fields with an asterisk are required. Once you finish the transition coordination section, click Submit, and you will be able to go back to it again. When you want to go back to the next form, you find a specific member again. You always will get the ID or the RIN number and the date of birth. You can fill in the names. What I found most often is that if it's not coming up, you've spelled something wrong or one space off. So the most important are to get the date of birth and then the ID number. And then, again, to go back to the Williams Class Tracking Form, click Provider Form at this point. And you can look at the William Class outcome tracking of what has been completed. That will show when you click on that, it'll be a blue hyperlink, and you will be able to see what you've already completed. Questions?
Once again, press star 1 at this time for questions. One moment, please. Do you have a question coming through? One moment, please. The question's from Darcel Rathmussen. Your line is open.
Yeah, will we be able to get these the PowerPoint on this presentation?
Yes, ma'am. The PowerPoint presentation as well as the audio portion will be posted.
Okay. Thank you.
And currently showing no further questions.
Amy, it's Mary. Before we go on, let me just interject a couple of things. And, you know, this will be apparent to folks who are used to the transition coordination process. But, you know, this may have been a little bit brief for some of the folks who haven't gone through the training that's scheduled for this afternoon. So we know under the Williams Consent Decree, you know, that there are a number of transition-type tasks that must be performed before an individual transitions from living in an IMD to moving into their apartment or a house or whatever in the community. So the idea here is that DMH wants the ability to figure to track your progress in these activities. And that's actually what the list of transition coordination activities are that Joanne just walked through. You also know that, you know, you're not going to get all of these transition coordination tasks done in one sitting. You know, some of it's trying to make sure that the individual has links with medical doctors or dentists or, you know, any other kinds of services that they may need as they transition. And so, again, the idea is, you know, once you have completed an activity, then you basically go in and indicate yes. You indicate the date that it's completed. You know, if you've not been able to complete an activity, you would actually indicate no. And then again, you can go in and update the forms as many times as possible with your old answer, you know, continually being displayed. At the point that you have actually completed all of the transition coordination activities, you're really not expected to go in and update anymore, right? Because either you've answered yes or either not applicable. So just wanted to lay that out for people. Thanks, Amy.
All right. Thank you, Joanne and Mary. The next presenter for today is Ms. Pat Palmer.
Thanks, Amy. I'm going to take you quickly through the process of submitting your outcomes tracking forms through the use of Provider Connect. So as we've talked about before, you're going to go on in, you're going to log into Provider Connect as you always do. That'll get you to your home page. And either on the left there or on the bottom right, you can click either link in order to enter the outcomes tracking. Now you're going to search for your member. Again, as Joanne talked about, you need to have the member ID, which is their RIN, and the date of birth are required. And then if you have additional information, that's great. Make sure you watch the spellings and spaces to that. And then take a look and make sure that you've got the correct consumer that has been chosen. And when you've done that, go ahead and click Next. We'll take you to the landing page, and you'll see there on the left you can select the Williams Transition Outcome Tracking Information, and then click Next. Again, as Joanne mentioned, all fields with an asterisk are required fields, so you have to fill those out. And now you're in the section that's going to track the coordination of all the transition plans. This will also be pre-populated from what you entered in the transition coordination process so that you know what you put in before. So you go ahead, and again, it's this long list of tasks, and you can update this now as you're going through. You may have completed some things that you hadn't done before. Go ahead and walk through this entire form, filling out all the things with an asterisk, updating, clicking through, and you get to the very bottom, and then when you've completed it all, go ahead and click on Submit. That will take you to the submission landing page, and you'll see there in the middle there's a message that will display, once you've done it, that says, you know, the Williams class tracking form has been saved successfully. Want to take a look at it again and group it, go ahead and click on Home. That will take you to the home page. Again, you can see there are two links there that you can click on to choose your specific consumer. And click on those, and then you're back to this familiar box page where you will go ahead and enter the consumer ID, which again is the RIN and the date of birth. That will get you to the demographics page. Again, you can make sure you've got your right consumer there. And then in the lower right-hand corner, click on the outcomes tracking forms, click on the provider forms down there on the bottom. That will take you to the demographics page here and locate on the bottom the application type for Williams Class Outcomes Tracking. Click on that, and now you'll be able to see the history of your outcomes tracking information and double check that it's all correct. Questions on that?
Once again, press star 1 at this time. One moment, please. We do have questions coming through. One moment, please. Letla, your line is open.
Thank you. My question is about on the outcome tracking information form, there is a question, is the individual still residing in initial residence? And here I'm confused. Do I need to put yes or no if the client is transitioned? And if I'm updating the form every week and I've already documented that the client has been transitioned, let's say on June 27th, is it possible that the system populates this field as well? Or I have to enter every time that, no, the client is not living in initial residence, the client moved to a different unit on such and such date?
No, it pre-populates. So when you go back into it, you'll see what you already put in, and you can change if it needs to be changed or add to it, but it will pre-populate.
So I'm trying to figure this out. Am I doing the form right? Do I need to say, no, the client is not living in initial residence if the client is already transitioned out?
So it's Mary. So the transition outcome tracking is really meant to basically document information that you gather when you go out to visit the individual across time. And so that form in particular does need to be updated to reflect changes, new things that happen. So, okay, let's say the person transitions and they're living in permanent supportive housing. The idea is that for that first month, it's my understanding that you go out to visit the individual on a weekly basis. And there we actually expect you to complete the information for the individual week when you go out. Because, again, we're just, you know, we're trying to track outcomes. Second month, you see the person every other week. And so when you go out to visit the person every other week, we're looking for you to provide some documentation about what you observed during those visits. And so that, you know, that's the purpose. We're trying to track across time impact the individual. Does that help?
Okay, let me make sure that I understood this right. So when I feel the information on the tracking form, is the individual still residing in initial residence? Initial residence will be his new apartment, for example, permanent supportive housing. So I will say yes. And if the following week when I go and see him, he's still in this residence, I will keep saying yes. Am I right?
Yep.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
The next question is from Michelle Rona. Your line is open.
Okay, I do have a question, although it may be answered in the other webinar, which I have not attended yet. But you've mentioned the transition coordination form, and then you've also mentioned that information fills into the outcome tracking form. When do we do which one?
Yep, you'll get some more detail on that this afternoon. But,
okay,
you know, again, we know that there are things that I would call transition coordination tasks have to be completed, right? There's a whole list of things that you have to do before an individual can move out of the IMD, and that includes making sure that they're, you know, that they have appointments with doctors, dentists, mental health centers if it's not yours, you know, substance abuse providers if the individual needs it, et cetera. And so that is the long list of sort of transition tasks that you must before the individual is moved. You have to do the risk mitigation plan. You have to have the 24-hour backup plan. Once the individual moves out of the IMD into the community, into their, you know, into their apartment or their house, then we're interested in tracking on a weekly basis during that first month, as I just said. So what's the outcome for that individual, or really what's the status of that individual on some key variables that we report back to the court monitor and that we, you know, they're part of the quality plan that we've put together. So, yeah, just the outcome tracking information, you know, once the person is moved out of the IMD, we expect that to be updated on a regular and routine basis.
Okay, thank you very much. Yeah.
You're welcome.
I'm showing no further questions at this time.
All right, thank you. That will take us to our next presenter, which is Ms. Kelly Lacey.
This section will step through the process of submitting a Williams Class PSH comprehensive service plan through the use of the Provider Connect. Again, you log in as you would as usual. You're now at the home page. You have two places to choose from, and that's on the side, which is the left, and in the body of the particular home page. Either one, and you can get where you're going. Again, here we put in the consumer ID, member ID, REN, all are the same, and the date of birth. And remember the things that you were told before. Make sure that it's all correct. This is your demographics verification when you verify that it is the ID of the consumer that you're wanting and check the address. Everything needs to check, and if that checks out, then you submit. You land on the comprehensive service plan landing page, and that particular date is auto-populated. The level of care is a required field, and that's outpatient. And then you hit next. The landing page continues, and the type of service is mental health. The level of care is assertive community treatment and or consumer community support team. There are two you can do, ACT in short or CST. And then you click next. The comprehensive service plan, section one, all fields with an asterisk are required. Up in the upper right-hand corner, please save as a draft if you want to come back to this plan. Other than that, it's completed when you submit it, and it's a one-time completion. This is a section two of the comprehensive service plan. Remember, all asterisks are required fields. Then you submit. These are the printing options. After it's submitted, you can look at it once the comprehensive service plan is submitted successfully. The submission status page will appear. And you could either print it or download it. this page shows a printed page. You can print it down and see what you've done already. On this, it gives you an option of how to download. Please use the PDF form when you're asking for a download so that you can read it. Are there any questions?
Once again, press star 1 at this time. One moment, please.
So it's Mary. While we're waiting for questions to come in, again, the comprehensive service plan is a concept that our current Williams providers are familiar with, but the folks who are attending the training this afternoon will hear more about it, you know, this afternoon, and probably this presentation will make more sense. But one of the things that I just wanted to point out, you know, is that the comprehensive service plan is really, you know, it's really much broader than the treatment plan. And so this is why you're seeing more than just mental health services reflected on here. It's really an attempt to capture the array of services that an individual will need in the community once they transition. The other thing that I would point out is, and you really need to be aware of this, it's possible what we give you the opportunity to put a draft plan in, because again, we know that it may take some time to develop the comprehensive service plan and to be able to indicate, you know, when people will receive services, et cetera. And so you can go in and build a draft plan. However, once you hit the submit key, that's it. That comprehensive service plan will be the service plan that's on record and resident in the file. There is no update to the plan after that. So I just want to caution you, you know, go in as many times as you want to create the draft plan, print it out if you want while you're working on it. Once you are finished with the draft plan, hit submit, and then that again will become the plan that's resident in the file. So do we have any questions?
Thank you. We do have three questions. Suzanne Reynolds, your line is open.
Of putting in the comprehensive service plan, the level of care as community support team, if our agency doesn't have a community support team, can we still put that in?
I'm sorry, we can't hear you. Can you speak a bit louder?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm on a headset. It's probably not working well. Can I indicate community support team as the level of care, even if my agency does not have a community support team?
You want to answer that?
Hi, this is Brenda Hampton. How are you? We're still having a little difficulty hearing you, but let me regurgitate what I thought you said. Your question was, if on the service plan you indicate community support team, but your agency does not have a community support team, was that correct?
Yes.
Your service plan should be reflective of what existing services or resource service supports are available for you to provide and meet the needs of Williams class members. If your agency does not have CST, you can't provide CST.
Right. And, again, I look like there were only two choices, ACT or CST.
Well, no, because your plan might be that the person needs case management. You might have to beef your case management up to 4 times a week with a
right.
plan to reduce that after 3 weeks.
Yeah, yeah. It's more we aren't certified to provide community support team, and it appeared there were just two choices, but maybe there are more in the drop-down.
Brenda, this is Callie. According to Joanne, who has been testing, there is therapy counseling, there's a PSR, a psychosocial.
That's fine. That's as long as I didn't know whether there were more choices.
Right, there
okay.
are more choices.
Okay, and you can choose more than one.
Can you get, Amy, whoever's in control, can you flip back to the screen showing the comprehensive service plan?
This is Joanne. The choices that are on that drop-down are PSR, community support group, therapy counseling, ACT, and CST.
Flip to the next screen, Joanne.
Section 1 or 2?
So Section 1 is really just some more general information, correct? So flip to Section 2. Now, this is the meat, at least the economic system of the Comprehensive Service Plan, and this is something I was talking about earlier. Because the Comprehensive Service Plan, again, is different from a treatment plan, we're talking about the array of services that an individual will need in the when they transition to the community. And so you can see on this form, you know, on this particular part of the form, we don't even have a breakdown here of type of mental health services. These are really very broad categories. You know, when you're developing a treatment plan in your agency for what services the individual will receive, then that's when you would be much more specific about the mental health.
Right. I was just talking about that one box in Section 1.
Joanne, go back to Section 1 and let's look at that box.
Where it says level of care.
In that space, it's the choices are ACT, CST, PSR, DSG, and therapy counseling.
We will give you some more guidance on that later this afternoon. Because
okay.
That right now, that really does not tell us, of course, every service that the individual is going to get. So we'll give you some guidance about what to select there. That's really not intended as a way to basically say what all of the services are that an individual will receive. So thanks for that question.
And this is Brenda again. While I have the line open, I just want to see if other agencies have called in since we've been talking. So, operator, if you have HRDI, Association House, AID, New Foundations, Heritage, Alexian Brothers, Iroquois County, let me know.
We do have those parties online at this time.
Thank you.
And moving on to our next question from Duce, your line is open.
Hi.
Yeah, go ahead.
Hi, I am just wondering, when you when I go into complete the comprehensive service plan, where the start date is, I know it will always self-populate with the day that I'm actually entering it into the database, but I just want to clarify that the date that I should be entering there should actually be the member's move-out date, correct?
Actually be the date that you think that particular service will be initiated. The start, not the move-out date.
What? Which service?
Are you looking at Section 2 that shows mental health
no.
services, substance?
No, the Comprehensive Service Plan start date.
Yes, it's right there. So they would technically be getting ACT or CST services upon their move-out date.
Yeah,
so
and that makes sense.
Okay. So I just want to clarify. So that the comprehensive start date, you want that to be the move-out date?
Is that the date that you've developed the comprehensive service plan? I think that's actually what it should be. When did you develop the comprehensive service plan? You could, in theory, have developed it while the person was still in the IMD.
Mary, it's Leanne.
Uh-huh.
The other thing to remember about the comprehensive service plan is that it may include things that are done prior to the person moving out. So it may actually the plan could start, the services could start before the person moves out. So it does not, the start date should not necessarily be the date the person moves out.
Agree with that.
That can just be when we start it. Okay, that answers my question. Thank you.
Thanks, Leanne.
Sure.
Our next question is from Ann Lockwood. Your line is open.
My question was answered. Thank you.
And we do have another question. Elizabeth Claussen, your line is open.
Hi. We have done these in the past, and the comprehensive service plan would not be able to be edited after 30 days. I was wondering if this has been changed.
I don't believe it's been changed. However, if you go back into the draft within that 30 days, then you should be able to continue working on it. That's my understanding.
Okay. Yeah, because we lost a lot of comprehensive service plans that we had started, you know, if somebody was starting in services and then it took a little bit longer to move them, and a lot of those plans were just lost.
Be able to make sure that you guys have the opportunity to enter a draft plan, but then we had to have some limit on how long a draft plan could just sit there. The 30 days, but, you know, as Joanne said, you can go in that interim and build on that.
From the phone lines, we are showing no current questions at this time.
Okay, thank you. That will take us to our next presenter, which is Ms. Patricia Hill.
Good afternoon. This section will step you through the process of submitting an electronic application for Williams Class Permanent Supportive Housing through the use of Provider Connect. The glossary of terms that we'll be using today is PSH for Permanent Supportive Housing and WCPSH, which is Williams Class Permanent Supportive Housing. Preparing to submit a Williams Class PSH electronic app. Before submitting a Williams Class PSH electronic application, consumers, you must be registered with the collaborative, as stated before earlier by Mary and Amy. Only DMH-designated transition coordinators will be allowed to submit the Williams Class PSH application, or whoever you designated at your agency to submit these applications. First, we go to, of course, logging into Provider Connect. You will come to the famous home page where you can select enter a special program application from two locations. From your left, the selections, and then from the actual body on the right. You'll come to the disclaimer page. After you've read that, you can click Next. This will then take you to searching for a member, which is the same way by entering the customer ID or the REN number and the date of birth. This will take you to the consumer's demographics verification page, where you can just make sure that you did, in fact, select the correct consumer. You select Next, which will take you to the application landing page. Most of you are familiar with submitting the PSH applications online, so there will be a selection from the drop-down menu for application type for Williams Class PSH. Once you select that, you'll see there also at the bottom where if you have your supporting documents, such as your mental health assessment, your treatment plan, your income verification, or any other documents that you are submitting, you can attach those documents at that time, or you can fax them later to our fax number, which will actually be given towards the end of the application process. Once you select to upload a file, this is just showing you how to upload a file. And then just showing you kind of what it looks like once you enter your secured clinical document. Once you get into the meat of the application in Section 1, you'll notice the difference with this is you do not have to do an intake for Williams Class PSH. It does not require it, so you won't have to fill out that field. You'll just go straight to Section 1, which is the meat of the application. You will check also any box with an asterisk. Make sure that you complete information for that. In this section for race, if there's other, please, you know, hit check other and put what is not listed as one of the selections. Or if you don't know or they refuse to tell you, you can also put refused. Again, required fields, make sure that you complete that. Section 2 of the application basically gets into, you know, was there a mental health assessment completed? Any required field in there, please make sure that you complete the information, especially like the care manager or therapist name. Most of the time it's the care manager name or the designated person that we'll be sending those Williams approval packets to. The bottom sections there you'll see don't apply to Williams. They're strictly for MFP or Money Follows the Persons or the Rapid Reintegration section, so you don't have to worry about those. The diagnosis section, you have to at least put one entry in for the access. Of course, access one being your main SMI and filling in the others. If you don't have a diagnosis, make sure you put the selection for no diagnosis. What is that, B7109? Access 5, both fields are required. Again, you will put the score in. Anything, we just can't reiterate. The computer will actually light up at the end and tell you what's missing, so it won't be a hunting find mission for you. The locus results, this is required. As you can see, almost every selection there is required. This gets into what the priority population of the consumer is. And for Williams class, you'll be dealing with, of course, resident of long-term care facility. So you would end up checking that and putting the name of the facility and the location. This gets into the income, et cetera. Are they, you know, receiving or applying for the Section 8 or another voucher? These are required fields, so you would, of course, check something for this as well. Section 3 takes you to household information, which is important when we're sending out the approval packets. If they have if they're moving out of their own and they have a spouse or a dependent minor, you would put this information in this section at this time. Continuing with Section 3, any criminal history or anything in this section that's with an asterisk. This will take you to the section at the bottom when you're going through the application that talks about what information you're submitting or your supporting documentation. Either you're going to attach it at this time or you're going to fax it later. And if you notice, it gives our fax number, 866, I'll point here just so you can kind of see it, 866-928-7177. You'll fax to that number, and the documents will come directly to us probably the next day, and we can begin to, you know, process your application with all the information. And then the signature. You are required to submit a signature page, so once you complete your electronic signature, you can submit. Once you select submit, you can no longer attach any documentation, so I would impress upon you to make sure that when you sit down to do the application that you have everything that you need in front of you. That way you can do it all, and when you're ready to hit submit, you don't have that oops moment. We move on to the printing options. Once you've gotten your approval status, you can go ahead and you can print an application results. You can print your signature page. This is for printing results internal. And then you can return to the provider homepage to see what you've submitted. Again, we go through every time you go return back to check anything, you have to look up your member, go through the member search by the ID and date of birth, make sure you're verifying it's the right one, and then here at the bottom it says special program applications. It should bring up anything that you entered before. You can select that, and it'll bring up the application that you just submitted. And then you can print that, select the print button, of course, to print it off for yourself. Any questions regarding the application process at this time?
Once again, press star one.
Again, and I just want to remind, if there's any of the agencies that were part of the Pathways to 256, as you know, we went around this process tremendously so that we could get paperwork to you to fill out for your application and to get that information to the administrators. You still have to go back in and do this. This information has to be incorporated into our database. I'm sorry, I apologize for that, but this was our process was the only way to get it done quicker for you, or quickly for you. So you will still have to go back and re-enter this information. If you want to have a sidebar conversation about this afterwards, we can do so. I just wanted to put it on the table so you would be informed.
And once again, for questions at this time, press star 1. One moment, please. Thank you for standing by, showing no questions at this time.
I will continue with the Williams Class PSH Outcomes Follow-Up Process. This section will actually step through the process of submitting the Williams Class PSH Outcomes Follow-Up through the use of Provider Connect. Again, we'll be entering into Provider Connect, and you'll select your specific member by submitting the ID and date of birth, verifying that this is, in fact, the member you want, and then to view a previously entered application, you would click the Special Program Applications button and go to Complete Follow-Up. This is a one-time follow-up basically to update what your consumer has done so far as far as their housing, one time only. So you want to have as much information for this screen available as possible because you can only submit it one time. And what you would be submitting for this follow-up, you'll be doing the housing, the date, let me bring my cursor here, the date the housing application was requested or submitted, when it was approved, the dates that the individual moved into the house, number of units, how many people are living in the house, monthly rental amount, the date that the lease was actually signed, the type of rent subsidy and the amount, I should say, and then the individual's contribution, the landlord information. Does the consumer have access to a telephone? And did they receive the bank, you know, fund cards? So it's just basically a follow-up, just saying, yes, we got the person in, and here's all the various information that you need concerning their housing. Once you do that, you click submit, and it takes you to where you can press the actual form that you just submitted. Once you click that to go into print, you see that the form complete follow-up, that option is no longer available to you, so it's not shown. If you have any technical issues with any of these processes, you may contact our EDI help desk at 888-247-9311. They are available from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. That is Central Standard Time, Monday through Friday. Some examples of these issues may be your account is disabled, you just forgot your password, your system seems to be freezing or crashing, or any other system unavailable errors that pertain to Provider Connect. If you have any questions regarding the content of the application, you may contact Lindsay Huth, the DMH Statewide Housing Coordinator, at 312-814-4822. Are there any questions at this time?
Once again, star one at this time. One moment, please.
So it's Mary again. So while we're waiting for questions, you know, I know that most of the providers on here have submitted permanent supportive housing applications on behalf of consumers in the past. And so the application process itself is probably no surprise for most people. You know, we just wanted to highlight the couple of modifications that have been made for the Williams class individuals. But then the other piece that Patricia just walked through, the outcomes piece, we created specifically for Williams class because we really did not have any way to track outcomes for those individuals. And so the outcome module really is only completed once after the person has transitioned, moved into their apartment. You know, that's when you complete the outcome tracking module. And again, once you submit it, you've submitted it. There's no going back to update it. It just gives us really a snapshot of outcomes for the person after they've moved into the community. Thanks. Please go ahead with the questions if we have any.
And showing no questions at this time.
Okay, thank you. Well, that would take us to the live demo portion. And Ms. Joanne Rosenberg will do that.
We're just getting set up for the to be in Provider Connect, and then we will run through pretty much in the order that a transition coordinator would begin working with entering information. You have all your space and your numbers, and it's your password is definitely conditional on the capital or small. Okay, we're at a home page here. And let me point out once again, you might need to zoom that a little bit smaller so you can get more. Go down just a little bit more and point out that Williams transition outcome tracking information, and that is the new way of getting into the system, that you can directly go into the Williams transition forms. So go with the complete provider forms so we can get the transition coordinating process. And I'm going to use a test member. Kat is doing the typing while I'm talking. So, so we're going to use one that I registered earlier. The funding source enrollment detail, because that is going to, that's a hyperlink we didn't highlight before. And if you notice, it has the WCC and EWCC on there. That shows that they are Williams class. The MCD on there shows that they have Medicaid. STBO is your social service benefit package. And ABC is that it's registered. So those are key. If you don't see those things, then probably you need to go back and make sure that they're registered and they are appropriate for Williams class. Okay, why don't you go back to the demographics now? Okay, so now you can go to next. And it's going to give you your provider forms options. And we're going to do the transition coordination task tracking. And we're going to think in terms of, has this person, the transition coordinator, completed these tasks with the person? So why don't you click on yes for risk assessment and mitigation plan. That would be one of the first things you're going to be working on with the person. You have to put in completion dates as you do these things. You can put in today's date if you'd like. And you've got a calendar pop up. 24-hour backup plan created. We'll say yes. And you can give today's date as well. We were very productive today. And quality of life surveys, let's say we haven't done that yet. So we don't need to have a date in. The rest of this are things that we're going to continue doing as we work with it. So linkage scheduling for psychiatric appointments, maybe we haven't done that yet. The person's still in the nursing home at this point. So you can put no. Scheduling for medical, no. Establish a representative payee, if applicable, you can put that as a yes. They may already have one, and so let's say that was done in last month. Well, you went last year, but that's okay. Whatever date, doesn't matter at this point. And so on. There's coordination of benefits. Secure recommended housing. We have to have something on each of these because they are all required. So, Pat, just fill in as you go down. If you have no or NA, you don't have to fill in the dates right now. Otherwise, you do. So,
you tell me.
You would not have secured recommended housing yet. You may have scheduled with the primary provider, so say yes on that, and maybe you scheduled the staffing for some date in the future, let's say the 27th, okay? And the application for food stamps would be no. Processing paperwork for bridge subsidy housing, that would be too soon, wouldn't it? So that would be a no. Meeting with family and collateral, yes. Probably did that 12 once because you want to get all those things started earlier on. Shopping for essentials would be NA, or actually no, because you will eventually do that. And then you have to go back up to the other side. This is a long form. There's a lot of tasks involved. You're going to have 2 weeks of medicine available. Not yet, so you haven't done it. So it's a no. Scheduling for dental, no. Coordinating medical transportation. I think you're missing part of the form there. Okay. So you have to fill out something on each of those tasks. So you can say no through the rest of this, medication management and administration, no, 2 weeks of food on hand, no, your activation of daytime activity support, other services as applicable, no, allowable purchases, checklist review, no. So those are all things that you will be doing. Secure transition funds would be no. Go on, submit. And that is your initial time that you have done your transition tracking form. And go on to next.
Joanne, before we go on, let me just clarify for people. So, you know, as Joanne said, you're going to basically go through and indicate your progress on completing these tasks. You know, however, what DMH expects is that every agency will go in and update the transition task plan for Williams Consumer by Friday afternoon every week. The reason is because we generate reports on Monday morning, and then we aggregate the data for each agency so that we can take a look at the progress that's being made in working with class members. So, no, this is great as an example, but if you'd started working with the individual December 1st and you'd actually completed a task December 1st, you probably would have updated the transition task list information at the end of the week of December 1st, and so on. If you did something where you were working with the individual the next week, then that next Friday you would go in and update the information again. So, again, because we are generating reports so that we can monitor what's going on with class members. Thanks, Joanne. Please go ahead.
Okay, we're going to go in through the Williams Transition Outcoming Tracking Information this time. And, again, we're going to go find Illinois Test 29, which is our test member that we're doing. And you've got the birth date back. And just hit next. This time we have the right consumer. And this time we're going to take the outcome tracking information form. And this is the one that we're going to be looking at that shows the weekly contact or the monthly contact, whatever stage you're in. And this is another form that you will be able to save each time you do it, and it will store the collective data. So today, let's say today's the date of contact and the type of contact. You have choice of telephone, in-home, or other setting. So let's put it as in-home. Is individual residing in initial residence? Let's say yes. and there's an if no, indicate his or her status below. So let's change that yes to a no so we can see what the choices are. And that's terminated residence of unit with notice on date, terminated with no notice, moved to a different unit, moved with family or friends, was legally evicted, vacate unit by landlord using official recourse. So let's, now that we have that, we can go back to a yes. And then it has a date provided there, which would be used for the, if it was a no, okay? And then you have a list of other choices. If the tenant was evicted or asked to vacate the unit by the landlord using official recourse, indicate the reason for eviction and explain, such as refusal to pay rent, argumentative, combative, disturbing privacy, destruction of property, aggression, violence, fire setting, drug trafficking, other. So again, that would only be if the person was evicted. Let's going down the form. Is the individual paying his or her rent on time? And that's another asterisk. Yes, no, not applicable. And individual is housing fully subsidized, so we'll say yes. And it, again, it has what the reason for not paying rent in time is. So let's say what, see what it would be if it was a no. Oh, I guess that's not a drop-down, so we'll just leave that as yes. Any official incidents occurred during the reporting period? So yes. If yes, how many? And we've got up to 16, so let's just say one. And the type of critical incident, if you have a yes, then you do have to specify something. So it's got inpatient treatment, hospital visit, property damage, fire or arson, suspected mistreatment, abuse, neglect, exploitation, death, repeated critical incidents, nursing facility placement, fraud, misuse of funds, criminal activity, incarceration, law enforcement contact, missing person, behavior incidents, altercation, serious injury, assault, or suicide attempt. Then the next is the person still receiving mental health services, which selects, about inpatient treatment, hospital visit, and then that adds a lot of stuff to put in. So let's deselect that one.
Let's say no.
Okay. Didn't go back. We'll just move on anyway and see what happens. Is the individual still receiving community mental health services? Yes. What is the individual's monthly income? Say $700. What was the outcome of the wellness check? Wellness check completed. Consumer refused wellness check. And then there's did the individual engage in any of the following activities for the reporting period? Paid employment, volunteer work, supported employment, education, vocational training. Other or none are the other options. So let's say they had volunteer work. And then has the individual applied for Section 8 waiting list or other permanent subsidy? And that's yes, because that's part of the requirements. So let's say they applied for CHA, and you can type that in. Okay, and then you can submit it. So that is the end of your tracking form, but you can go back to it. The next form that we talked about was the comprehensive service plan on the slides. In many cases, we would be actually submitting a PSH application by this point, too. So let's go to, are we going to demonstrate the PSH application process? Okay, so let's do that. Enter a special program application.
Hey, Joanne?
Yes.
I think most people, I think all of the agencies pretty much know how to do the PSH application, and because we're running close to the end, I think we're only scheduled to go to 12:30. Can you show the comprehensive service plan? And
sure.
Then if we have time, also something of the PSH outcome tracking?
Sure.
Thank you.
Okay, so again with the same consumer ID. And birth date. And we'll go to next. Don't hit view spectrum record because that's, I don't believe that that's something that we're doing in Illinois, but it pops up on there. So I guess we can change that comprehensive service plan date. That was one of the questions people had. So let's change that to 1201. And select level of service in outpatient, type of service mental health, level of care, let's say CST. And next. Okay, let's change it because it would have the date then, because that would have been whenever it was that I registered, and that one was registered last week, so let's just do today. Okay. All right, now point out that save it plan as draft at the top. All right, and let's keep going here. Transition coordination referral date. So that you could make that the first, because that could happen before. Transition recommendation, click on that. And this gives you a choice of PSH, private subsidized housing, unsubsidized housing, supervised or supported residential, so let's say PSH. Resident status, transition, not transitioned, in process, so let's say in process. Introductory letter assigned, yes, and then we'll have a date for that, about 12-1. Interim service plan, skill development plan created, let's say yes, and say 12-5. So you're going to go through all of these services in the same way. This is things that you would have completed by the time you are doing your service plan. Again, the estimated start dates and who the provider is on this one that you're entering. So mental health services, yes, and that would have been 12-1 because that would be when you're starting the whole process. Substance abuse services, you may not have them, so let's say a no on that one. And when there's a no, you don't have to enter a date. Medical, yes. Say 12-1. Dental, yes. Say 12-10. Ancillary services, no. Podiatry, no. Vocational, no. Other is not asterisked, so we can leave it alone. Coordination with social support, no. And other public resources, yes. And let's give that the 15th. Okay, so now each of these services that you have a yes on and a date, you need to say who the provider is. So, let's say C4 for all mental health services. and there is no substance abuse for medical Stroger. Okay. And so on. So just fill in for a couple of resources, say Health and Family, HFS. Okay, and submit. Now, again, this is a one-time submission. And you can print it or download it. Once you have submitted, you cannot go back and change anything. Go back to home. Try to connect home. Okay, so you were talking about the outcome tracking information. And that, again, would be through the same outcome, Williams outcome tracking. You put in your dates.
Glenn, is this the one for PSH?
Oh, are you talking about follow-up?
So if you could just show that one, you know, again, I know we're coming close to the end of time and folks are probably going to break for lunch, so maybe you could just show what that screen looks
okay,
like.
Okay, you know what? Go to Illinois Test 27 instead. They wouldn't complete.
Wait, which one am I doing? A special program?
Yeah. It's a different birthday, so I'm going to look at the sheet.
That's
birthday. So that one. Oh, I guess that's 426. No, it's not. 226.
Mm-mm. No, the curse that keeps
it. Okay, so. Oh, this is new. You did a new application. Mm-hmm. You did a new application. You know what, we just needed the person so we can find it instead. Go back to the home. Right. No, The cursor is getting away from me. Okay, now at the bottom you'll have your provider forms, your special program applications. So you want to see what the ones are that you have completed before. So which one are we looking for? The follow-up. So go to special program applications, and it gives you the option to complete follow-up. And then you would fill in your dates. You can put them all today, it doesn't matter. We're just filling in the housing approval date, the date the individual moved into housing, what type of housing, and again, you have to choose Williams Class PSH, number of bedrooms in the unit, number of persons living there, monthly rental amount, and that would be the total amount. Rent subsidy if there's an amount. So let's say there's a subsidy of $200 and the individual is contribution is $300. Date the lease was signed. Say that would be when it's approved. And the lease period, which is generally a year, I think, in most of them. Okay. the landlord name and the landlord's phone number, and then whether the consumer has access to a telephone. And there's two more. State Transition Bank Fund Card was requested. And the date the card was received, and that one's not asterisked, but again, we're talking at this point. We're at the end here. This is when we're saying we're done with that piece of it. So you can print the application results. You can print signature page. You can print the total results. And you can also return to Provider Connect Home from there. And that is the end of the demonstration, unless there are any other questions.
Stand by for questions. One moment, please. And we do have a question from Thresholds. Your line is open.
Hi, I was just wondering, as we're going through this, if we have any additional questions, if there's a contact number we would be able to get for the best person to direct our questions to.
I think it's Mary. I think it would be best if you direct your questions. If you have questions, I know that the quality managers are still meeting with DMH. It would be good if you could funnel it through that process.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
I'm showing no further questions on the phone.
Hey, Amy, if I could, I just want to remind folks that the training afternoon that DMH is convening will use a different call-in number. So you should have received an email about that either yesterday afternoon or this morning. So just wanted to direct your attention to that.
Thanks,
Amy. I think we're ready to close.
All right. Thank you, everyone. If there are no more questions in the queue, then that will conclude our call for today. I would like to remind the audience that today's call audio and PowerPoint will be posted under the Provider Resources heading on the Provider Information page of the Collaborative's website. That will be in MP3 format and available for download within 2 to 3 business days. I would also like to remind everyone that we value your feedback, so please take a few minutes to complete the brief satisfaction survey that will appear when you close out of the online forum today. Melinda, you may now push the speakers through to post-conference and disconnect the main lines.